for a lot of us, whether it's a meal or a whole day. Getting together for a time of prayer corporately is going to help with that. Because when you're starting to feel by day 15 and 16 a little tired and weak, the believers coming together will lift up one another and be encourage you. Even Jesus, after his fast, had angels ministering to him. We want to minister to each other. So if you can one day out of the week or a couple of days come and just join us, 7 to 8, time of prayer and edifying one another, that would be awesome. It'll benefit you. It'll strengthen everything God's doing. And guess what? We get to give God praise for the stuff that's already happened, the breakthroughs that were being taking place on a day-to-day basis. So we just encourage you to not miss out on that time of prayer and fellowship as we fast. But if right now, if you have your Bibles, if you'd raise them with me, let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen. With those same Bibles, I'd like you to turn and just put your finger on Luke chapter 5, for beginning verse 17, and we'll get to that in a moment. As I said, today's, I want it to be a time of commissioning for what God has done. Because this is not going to be an easy thing for any of us, but it's going to be an awesome thing for all of us. And it's going to be an awesome thing for the kingdom of God. We want to see change. We want to see change. I'm tired of seeing people struggling. I'm tired of seeing the devil beat people down, and then the stick that the devil gives them, they beat themselves up with it. I'm tired of seeing sicknesses and those things overtake us, and seeing people just simply without the joy of the Lord. And I'm really taking it to heart when the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy keeps us strong and empowers us. And we need, in this time, these next 31 days, beginning January 1st, is a time of breakthrough. We're believing God to tear down major walls. If you have family members you're praying for, well, this time of fasting prayer is going to be a time of breakthrough for them. This is what we're believing in. Whether it's financial, it's personal, it's even with our church, we're believing in a breakthrough with this church like we've never had before. People on fire with the heart of God. That's our desire. That's our passion. That's the only thing that matters, is we are excited and passionate about God, and that's it. And we do this in the power of God, not in our own strength. I'm going to begin in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I titled this message, Kingdom Power and Authority, because as we take this time and fast and pray, we are expecting for God to move through it in his power, in his kingdom power, and with his authority. God the Father gave Jesus the Son all authority under heaven. Jesus the Son imparted that authority that the Father had given him unto us. And that's what we walk in. When we fast and we pray, that's what we will do. I want you to look at something real quick that probably slipped most of our minds in verse 20 here. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. If you remember, if you were here on December 7th, when we shared on fasting, One of those things, or actually two of those things that Jesus commanded is when he said, when you pray. And he said that twice. And then he said, when you fast. He said that twice. So it is a directive from him that we are expected to pray and expected to fast, as we talked about. So he says, teaching them to observe all things that he commanded. How did Jesus teach? Jesus not only taught in word, but he gave examples of it. And he walked in the power of his teaching. When he tells the disciples, you go and heal, guess what? Jesus already showed them how it's done and how to walk in that power and in that authority. Mark 3:15 says this, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to what? Have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. See, he appointed 12. What does that mean? Means he imparted his authority on them. When I appoint someone to a specific task, what I am saying to them, I am appointing you to do this, and you have my authority to do this in. I have given you this job to do, and you are doing it in my authority that I have imparted on you, that I passed to you. This is yours. You have authority. If we come, we lay hands and pray over someone in ministry, what we are doing is we're imparting that authority over that ministry. So when he appointed them, he imparted his authority on his disciples. Then, verse 15 here says, to have power to heal the sickness and to cast out demons, he empowered them. He appointed them, gave them his authority, then he gave them the power to carry out, carry through his authority. See, when we fast and we pray over those next 31 days, we're doing it in his authority, and we're believing in his power through us to break through. That when we pray, the righteous prayers, the prayers of a righteous man, will avail a whole lot. We'll break through. We'll see change. Why? Because we're not doing it for our sake. We're not doing it by our strength. We are doing it in his spirit. We're doing it in obedience to him. We're doing it in submission with humble hearts and a contrite spirit. And we're doing it believing God wants a breakthrough. Because if I'm not happy with the way things are around me, and I don't believe any one of us sitting in this room as Christians should be happy with the way things are around us, you know God's heart's broken. And as we fast and we pray, what we are lining up with God's heart. And we're coming against those things that have come against God's heart. And we're coming in those things that are for God's heart in his power and authority. Power and authority go hand in hand. But they're not the same. Power occurs, the word power, the Greek word dunamiv occurs 120 times in the New Testament. And it's most often translated, as we know it, as power. But it's also translated mighty work, miracle, strength, and might. And it can be described as supernatural power or a natural type power. The word authority occurs 103 times, and it's translated, and the word used is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And that's translated actually as power, kind of combined, 69 times, but also translated authority 29 times. The word can represent the power of choice and free will, physical and mental power, or power of authority, or power of rule. It reflects a sense of ruling over something by authority. Remember in Genesis, when God created everything, and then God said, let's make man in our own image, and he said, Let him, verse 26, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. This is Genesis 1, 26 through 28. So God created man in his image, and then God gave him authority to do the things. So all authority comes from God. Then God gave him authority and dominion to rule over creation. But guess what? Satan did not have authority. You know what Satan did? He stole authority. And this time of fasting is taking back and moving into things that Satan thinks he took from us. It's like saying, I don't think I can, when in God we can. But Satan steals those thoughts and puts those doubts in that makes us think we can't. By choice or free will, man gave up their authority to the devil. He gave it up. John 8:34 says this, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave. If you're a slave to someone, that thing is your authority over you. So if I am a slave to sin, that means sin is my boss. They have authority and dominion over me. They become my master. I give up. And this is the cool thing here, is that sin is a choice. When I repent, it's no longer there. God forgives me, and it's cleaned out. But as long as I make the choice to walk and live under that, I am a slave to it, my master. As long as I keep thinking I can, I am a slave to the doubt placed in my heart. When someone says to me, Mike, I know you're hurting in this area, I'm going to pray for you. If I question that and not believe in the power that's going to come through that, I am a slave to that doubt. Instead, I should be saying, I agree, I stand on it, and I receive it. And I walk in it. When someone says, you are so gifted, or you're so anointed, and you say, oh, nah, I'm not very good, you're a slave to that doubt. Instead of saying, yeah, this is all God. This is all God that he's given me, and I'm just giving it back to God. I'm giving it all back to him. We give up our right to rule. We give up our right to walk in the strength and power of God. But there's a way we regain that. God provided a way to regain it, and that is Jesus. And this is why fasting and praying is so important for us in the things we do. We're taking this back. We're taking this back. Those of us who've given up on our kids, guess what? Don't you dare. Get back to it. Take it back. Those of us who've given up on our families, take them back right now. This time, this 31 days, commit to it to take it back. Those of us and who may have given up even on this church, take it back and stand in the authority that God has given us. Those of us who've given up on ever getting out of debt, ever changing things, making a difference in our community, take it back. You've given up hope on making a difference in your workplace, take it back, because in Jesus, it'll change. This time will be a time of breakthrough. My wife and I pray every day for this. We were in prayer this morning. We were praying for the teachers in our schools, because we have two teachers, three including my wife, in three different school systems here. We're praying for individual families and thinking about all those that came Christmas Eve or the Christmas Adam for our service, who we might only see once a year sometimes. We're praying for them and their families and the breakthrough for that to happen. We're taking it back. We're not giving up. We're not giving up. This is what this time is for. We're standing. And without getting too deep into this, because we've talked a lot about that in the last few months, we take this authority back because of Jesus. And how did Jesus use it? His authority and power? Well, he walked in authority and power. In just a couple of quick verses, Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. It's that God confidence thing, that yeah, I know exactly what God's heart is. Guess what? I'm speaking it. I'm standing on it. Nothing you say is going to change that, because I walk in it, I believe in it, and this is what God is doing. So when God says to me, when you fast, when you pray, I receive it, I stand on it, I walk in it, I'm believing in the breakthrough, I'm believing that sickness is going to be healed, I'm believing that lives are going to change, salvations are going to occur, my family's going to be restored, I'm believing I'm going to get my finances in order, I'm believing that whatever curse through my lips, whether it's about poor health or about other people or things put on me, is going to be broken in the name of Jesus, because we're going to break it in the name of Jesus. We're not going to stand for it anymore. This is the authority Jesus walked in. Luke 4:36, he had authority and power over even unclean spirits. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. How in the world does he do this? See, unclean spirits, Satan, demons, they know that Jesus knows who he is, and that he's secure in the authority and power that he has. Problem is, sometimes we doubt. So when we step up and doubt and say, we command you to be bound, you spirit of hate or spirit of depression, that unclean spirit will look at me and go, who are you? You're just talking. You're not really believing what you're saying. I need to receive that. I need to recognize that the Spirit of God is in me, so that those demons and anyone around, when I lay hands and I pray over somebody, whether it's a broken bone or anything else, and believe in that power of healing, they're going to go, what word is that? He talks like somebody with authority and power, that he commands us to heal. And the only way that happens is when I fully accept my place as a son of God, who has been imparted by my brother, Jesus Christ, co-heir with his kingdom, with the Spirit of God, who has given me this. I stand on this. And then, Jesus also had power and authority over sicknesses. You know the stories of the blind man being healed and so forth. So this is Jesus' power and authority. This is how he lived his life. That's how he walked. And see, keep in mind, Jesus never did anything for the sake of doing it. There was never a non-teachable moment in Jesus' life. Even when Jesus went off by himself to the mountains to be alone and rest, that was teaching the disciples that you need to retreat every now and then and find a place of rest. You need to go and just be with God the Father and have a retreat together. Everything Jesus did was a teachable moment. Nothing was taken for granted. Every word he spoke, every action he took, every hand he held, every caress he gave a child, everything he did was teaching them and teaching us. Nothing was done in vain. So what we read about in his word, what we see come to life in his word, he does it. He did it. It's written to teach us to do the same. Nothing is done in vain. So then my authority and my power, and in Luke 5, verse 17 through 26, Most of you know the story. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Listen to this statement. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, you know the story, they cut a open in the thatch roof and they brought him down. Verse 20, and when he saw their faith, not the sick man's faith, the faith of the ones who laid him down. Keep that in mind. When he saw their faith, he said to man, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and up and walk? But that they may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose before them. He took up what he has been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And all were amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. See, what gets me is right there in verse 26, and the power of the Lord was present. Power of God was there. It's like saying, you're starving. Here's a 5-course meal right in front of you, but you're not retaking it. The power of God was there to heal, to do miraculous things. The saying it was available to them. It was available to anyone who would receive, who accepted it. He saw more faith in the men who cut the roof open than he did in the Pharisees and the teachers. The power was present for the Pharisees and the teachers to be healed, but it didn't fit their theology. It didn't fit their way of thinking, what they believed, what they accepted about themselves. It didn't fit their modus operandi. They just, hey, this is too weird for me. I don't get this. What authority do I have, and what authority do you have? But you know what? His authority and power was there to also heal the sick through them if they would have been healed themselves. See, I can't do anything if I haven't been touched. I can't forgive because I won't know what forgiveness is if I haven't been forgiven. God has to work on me before he can work through me in this way. I need to be commissioned, established, accepting of what God is doing in me. I have to know who I am as I stand in the authority of Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit before I can wield that power. It has to be me first. I have to accept that position. Problem here, you had scholars and teachers and leaders who did not accept it. But it was available to them. What does that tell me? That tells me it's available to all of us if it was accepted. It didn't say, and the power of the Lord was present to heal only the Pharisees, or only the scribes, or only the teachers. There was a whole lot of people there gathered around. The power of God was there to heal everyone, including them. And when God heals, guess what? He works through it all. It was available to heal and for them to wield that same authority and power. His authority and power was there to also heal the sick through them if they would have been healed. but he upset them with the statement that he can forgive sins. They didn't accept his authority over sin and death. But what Jesus was doing was demonstrating the extent of his authority. John 20, 21 through 23, when Jesus says, he said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Those of you who were here a few weeks ago with Paul Martini, he talked about that, how he literally breathed on them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And after they've received it, after they accepted their role, who they are, "If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit, which empowered them to forgive sins. That's the kind of authority God has for us. Jesus breathed on them because he was there. He told them that when he is gone, he will send the Helper. The Helper is still breathing on us today. He is still breathing on us today. Are we allowing? Are we taking in that breath? Are we receiving that breath? I have to confess to you, I'm still learning how to fully accept that. It's hard for me because I've come from a religious past, that did not talk about these things, that did not get into what this truly meant. So I, much like the Pharisees and the teachers, I just didn't know. And I'm now, God, as I'm putting myself in a position to let the Holy Spirit open my eyes to new things, I'm taking baby steps and walking in them myself. And with every step I get comfortable in, I'll take a bigger step, and so forth. So I'm on this journey with you. Again, what I'm sharing with you today is what I'm learning, not to preach at you for the sake of preaching at you. I'm learning this myself, to walk in this. So I'm learning how to have him breathe on me so that I can be empowered to move in that breath that he breathes to me. Luke 9, 1 through 2. "Then he called his 12 together and gave them the power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Same thing. He empowered them to do that. When we fast and pray, we are moving in that power. Remember, Jesus said there are some things that can only be done through fasting and praying. That's what we're standing on. That's the breakthroughs. And when Matthew 10, 1, when he called the 12 together, called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power and authority, again, over unclean spirits and to heal all kinds of sicknesses. Mark 6, 7, "And he called the 12 again to himself, and he began to send them out two by two and gave them power and authority." When we come together to pray, guess what? When we come together to pray those evenings, and you say to me, "God put this one on my heart, and I'm praying for a breakthrough," I'm going to be praying with you right there and then. Two or more are going to be praying for that breakthrough. Luke 10, 19, heal the sick there and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." We're told, bring heaven to earth. That's that when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, means here it is. It's in front of you. Bring heaven to earth. Acts 6, 8, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." He understood his authority, and he understood the power to the point he had no fear. No fear whatsoever. So now how do I take that back? How do I eradicate those thoughts, that attitude, even the past belief system that needs to be worked on and humbled and broken and placed at the altar of God so God would just change it? Well, Luke 4, 1 through 2, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 14, says this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. Afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Then verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout surrounding regions. So what happened here? Jesus went to fast, being led by the Spirit to do that. Remember, he was baptized by John the Baptist. Holy Spirit fell on him. He immediately went before he started his ministry. His ministry did not start till after this time. So he was led by the Holy Spirit to do this. But after he did this, what did he come back with? Then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was led to a place where his spiritual cup was being filled by his Heavenly Father. And when he came back, his spiritual cup was full now to pour it out on his disciples. He was empowered during that time of fasting and praying. He was able to stand and determine who he is, whose authority he's standing in. And his ministry began. See, fasting draws us near to God and opens up us up to experience God's power. It opens us up to the things of him. And as I said earlier, Jesus' method of teaching about their authority and power was discipleship. Everything he did was for us to learn from and to imitate as he mentored them. He did it and then said, this is what you're supposed to do. He didn't tell them when you pray and when you fast, and then he fasted. He did it first and said, when you do it. So he was discipling them as he's discipling us. It's mentoring. It's observational. And then doing. You watch, listen, and do. That's what he did. He called them to come alongside of him and to watch and listen. Then he commissioned them to do what they had seen. And you know what? Even Jesus himself learned to watch and listen to what God his Father was doing. Then he was commissioned. See, John 14:10 says this, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. It's a play on words, but what this is saying is that his Heavenly Father is doing the work, and he is observing, he's listening, and he's moving in the work of his Father. So the same way that Jesus mentors and disciples us is the same way God the Father worked through the Son to do these things. And we can be discipled in exactly the same way. Behold, Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with what? Power on high. Not to feel good on high. Not to have a nice service on high. Not to have an emotional experience on high. But power on high. Get up, get going, and you move in it. Stand in it. Acts 1:8, you shall receive again power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You'll be able to do all these things. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the what? Power. What keeps me in that hope, which is my strength? Joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, my hope in him, which brings me his joy, that keeps me going. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in me. There's nothing about me in the flesh. It's all about the power of God in me. The flesh is submitted to God. And these next 31 days, when we start, However God leads you to fast and to pray. Our flesh has to be submitted. I'll be honest with you. Normally I fast till after church on Sunday. This morning I woke up starved, and the first thought I had is, oh my gosh, if I can't even make it through breakfast, how am I going to do 31 days? But you know what? That's a lie of the enemy. And I can do it because it's not me. I have to confess to God and say, Lord, forgive me for this fear. Forgive me for walking with doubt. Forgive me, God, for thinking and even trying to plot, because my mind tends to run. Let me come up with ways that I can make this happen. How can I distract myself? When I need to say, Lord, I submit my flesh to you. I submit my will to you. I submit my mind to you. I submit my emotions to you. I submit my thoughts to you. I submit my heart to you. And here it is. You do it, Lord. You do it, because I can't do it on my own. I just can't. Jesus was ministered to by angels afterwards because he was exhausted. He was starving. His flesh was weak, but guess what? His spiritual strength was as high as could be. I mean, we struggle to fend off little demons and principalities. Jesus went toe-to-toe with Satan in his weakest moments in the flesh, but his strongest moments in the spirit. And he conquered him. He shut him down with three little statements, which is the word of God. Can you text Tiffany? Tell her to bring it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. We're going to have the kids come back here because we're going to do something different today. See, the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. When we fast and when we pray during this time, we're seeking these breakthroughs, and know these breakthroughs that we want are our heart's desires. But as we are tuned into God, they're actually God's desires in us. Because they're not going to be selfish. They're going to be, Lord, we want to see change. Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, I want to see you make a difference. We're going to bring down the heart of God, pull down what's already been established in heaven to earth. And in the book of Acts, whenever the disciples were sent, whenever someone was commissioned, the disciples laid hands, they prayed over them, and they anointed them with oil. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I shared where it says they sent them out. That literally means they sent them with the Holy Spirit. Not just, bye, have a nice trip. We bless you that you go with the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's what it means to send out. So today, we want to bless everyone in this room. This is your commissioning service for this time, for these next 31 days, however the Holy Spirit leads you to fast, whether it's one meal a day, one day a week, whatever, or you're going straight up cold 31 days one way or another. But we want to commission you and bless you and empower you with the Holy Spirit that you go, you are sent out with him. I'm going to ask first if the prayer team can come on up, because I want to commission them, anoint them, and bless them. And then they're going to help me bless everyone in this room. So we're going to be ministering to you in a moment. But right now, if Maureen, if Bobby, can you come up? Anne-Marie, Mike, and Diana, if you can come on up. If you guys can just play soft music, please, right now. If you would all just bow your heads with me before we start. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, we're all taking steps of faith beginning January 1st. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to give us the power of heaven supernatural power of heaven fill us up right now to anoint. And to anoint means to bless for a specific purpose. You know the purpose you have for us, each one of us. So we're asking for that right now. Just come, rest, Holy Spirit, upon us.